Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So we're going to dive right into the Word this morning. And my sermon title this morning is, What Garment Are You Wearing? What garment are you wearing? And I gave a shout out in the first service, but no one got excited because maybe nobody saw it. But I need to give a shout out to Derek. Derek. That he posted on our sermon teaser, and if you are on Facebook, we post a sermon teaser every week, letting you know what we're going to be ministering about. And we posted this: "What garment are you wearing?" And he went and posted this picture of a family at a campsite, all in like these garments, you know, like pajama garments kind of thing, and they were all having a party around the fire. It was pretty awesome. I thought it was great. Good job. Amen. So thank you for participating. And this morning, I want to go straight to Zechariah chapter number 2. We'll start in verse number 10, but don't put it up on the screen yet. I kind of want to give you an idea where we are and what's happening in this piece of scripture, but it is so powerful what I'm about to share with you this morning, and it comes out of the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament is so rich and full of the glory of God. Amen. And, you know, we have to teach out of the Old Testament because the Old Testament is the type and shadow. It shows us exactly what's going to happen in the New Testament. And when you can take a New Testament principle, something that God has done or is doing in our lives, and then show it how it was actually spoken about by the prophets hundreds and thousands of years, even before Jesus was born, I don't know about you, but to me, it is extremely life-giving and extremely powerful and can bring something to you. It can present something to you that's a truth that was maybe hidden before, that you didn't fully grasp. And so this morning, I believe this prophet, Zechariah, is going to show you that this morning. He gets a vision from the Lord about an event that's going to be taking place, and it is absolutely powerful. Let's just go straight to it this morning. Zechariah 2, verse number 10, and it says this. It starts beautifully. It says, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord." And I want to stop right there. You know, it's so beautiful because he starts by saying, "Sing and rejoice." So in other words, he's saying, you have a reason to rejoice. You have a reason to sing, to shout, to celebrate something that God has done. Oftentimes you may think, well, what do I have to celebrate? Well, maybe you have more than you think to celebrate. Let's go to verse number 11 and we'll kind of pick up a point that I want to show you. He says, "Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day." Now, we know that primarily God would speak to the children of Israel in that day. And here he's speaking about other nations that would be joined to the nation of Israel. Everybody in the room say, "That's me." Can you say amen? Isn't that good news? All right, right there we have something to shout about. But we won't shout now, we'll shout later, okay? But we have been joined to the Lord in that day. Because that day, part of it's already come to pass. So, "And they shall become my people." That's you and I. Amen? Isn't that powerful? So he's speaking about a generation, a nation of people, a people that will come, that will be joined to him, and they will become his people. We will become his people. "And I will dwell in your midst." "I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you." This is very powerful. Now, he says in verse number 10 and verse number 11, he says, "I will dwell in your midst." So he's overemphasizing a point, and he wants you to know he's speaking not only about the children of Israel, but about a generation of people, of nations that will come in that day. And he's speaking about you and I, and he says, "I will dwell in your midst." The word "your midst" in the Hebrew is the word tawek, and it means this. It means in the middle, in the center, and it also means within. Within. So the Lord is saying, I will become your God, and I will come and dwell with you, but not only with you and around you, I will actually also dwell inside you. How many of you know when you get saved and you give your life to Jesus, He comes and He lives on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you. Now, this might be very difficult for us to understand or grasp. And this morning, I'm asking the Lord desperately that we'll get this revelation, because this is what I'm going to share with you. I'm so excited. I just can't wait. It's just, it unlocks a truth just so beautifully, you know, that the Holy Spirit comes. And when He comes, He changes us. You know, He changes us from the inside out. We are not the same anymore. You know, we've put down the old man, and the new man is born. Our spirits get born again, and we begin this journey with God that is just so powerful and so beautiful. And we have got, just because of that, enough to shout about, where we could shout the whole building down. Can you say amen? But everybody say, there's more. There's more. There's much, much more. Verse number 12. And the Lord will take possession of Judah and his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. Now it gets really interesting. Chapter number 3, verse number 1. He's going to paint an incredible picture for us right here. He says, then he showed me, so this is now God giving him this vision. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing to oppose the priest. Three characters in one verse. The first character we see is the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. Now, this angel of the Lord is not like a ministering angel. This angel of the Lord is capital A and capital L, which means that this is the Messiah. This is Jesus, okay? This is what this angel of the Lord represents. We see a second character here, Satan, and he doesn't represent anybody else except himself. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll always be horrible. Amen. And his nature and character, I'll show you in just a minute. We see a third person here who's Joshua the high priest. Now, it's important that you take note that Joshua the high priest here is not Joshua, son of Nun, that led the children of Israel out of Egypt, or into the promised land, rather. This is Joshua the priest, who is the high priest of the children of Israel at this time. And this is important for you to grasp, because you need to see the character, the personality, the person, Joshua, who is a priest. And God is using Joshua to represent you and I. He's using Joshua to represent you and I. Why? Because Joshua is a priest. Joshua has something in the Old Testament that they did not have. That God has told the people that they will have something to shout about. What will they have to shout about? They will have access to the presence of God. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God, will come and dwell inside you. He comes and makes His home in you. This is extremely powerful. You need to recognize that the Old Testament saints were like, they were jealous of what we have. And He's sharing a picture of a future event that's about to take place in the spirit, not in the natural, of what will take place. And He's showing the angel of the Lord, who is Jesus, Joshua, who is the priesthood, who is you and I in the New Testament. Let me prove that to you real quick, just so that we can all be on the same page. 1 Peter 2, verse number 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we see we are a royal priesthood. We are priests. Revelation 1:6 says, and He made us kings and priests to His God and Father. We don't need to read further, but we can see that God in the New Testament has made us all priests. In the Old Testament, they would go beyond the veil. Only the high priest would have access to the presence of God. The other people were not allowed to access the presence of God. Church, if you recognize how fortunate you are that you have access to God's presence. It's the greatest gift. Listen, it's the gift that Abraham was promised. The gift of what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. You have the ability to have fellowship and communion with God every single day. And He can speak back to you. But He doesn't speak in the flesh. He speaks in the Spirit. So you have to learn to hear in the Spirit. Okay, that's another story for another day. So now we have this picture. We have the priest who represents us. We have Satan and we have Jesus, all in the same vision. Watch what's about to take place. Let's go back to Zechariah 3, verse number 1. We'll pick it up just from the beginning so I can kind of put it back into context. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing to oppose the priest. So Satan is standing in the room. Visualize this now. He's standing in the room and he's come to oppose the priest. Now, the first thing we need to look at is, what does the Hebrew word Satan mean? It means adversary, it means opponent, it means accuser. What does the word oppose mean? See, Satan standing at his right hand opposed him. This is the priest. He's opposing the priest. Small m, small h. The word oppose is actually the root word of Satan, and it's actually just S-T-N in the Hebrew. So it's stun or stin, whatever, however you want to say it. And basically, most of the writers agree that what it means, the root word there, actually the emphasis is on either opposes or accuses. The ESV translators will translate it one word only, which is accuser. So Satan, who is an opposer, an accuser, stands and accuses who? The high priest. The priest. Representing you and I. You need to see this now. This is very powerful. Because God's about to show us a truth. And what happens because of this truth that is so powerful. Verse number 2. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now he's talking about us. Is this not a brand? Is this not a people that has been removed from the fire? Have you not been removed from the fire? You are no longer in the fire anymore. Listen, he has separated you. He has chosen you, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You have been taken out of darkness into light. You have been taken out of the fire. And listen, he has separated you. This is great news. This is great news. And if you think that's good, watch this. It gets even better. Amen. So if the Lord is rebuking Satan and telling him, listen, I've taken them, I have removed them, I have made them a royal priesthood, a holy nation, they are my chosen people, they are not yours. Why is the priest being accused and what is he being accused of? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. Verse number 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. The reason Satan is accusing the priest is because he's saying to the priest, your garments are filthy. In other words, priest or Lord, if he speaks to Jesus, I don't know what he calls him, but he says to him, Jesus, look, his clothes are dirty. He is not holy. He is not worthy. He does not have right to access the presence of God. He does not have right to come before you and have authority and have power and become all he's called to be. He is dirty. And this is what Satan does with us all the time. He stands and he points his finger and accuses us all the time of everything we've done wrong. The truth is, every single day when you get up, You put clothes on. Right? Too much information, brother. Every single day we get up, we put clothes on, we go to work, we go out, we do stuff, right? I want to tell you that the battle in your life is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. In other words, listen, you need to get dressed up in the spirit as well. So that means that in order to get dressed up, there are clothes you must take off and there are clothes that you must put on. In the story here, we see the priest being accused of wearing clothing, garments that are filthy. Filthy garments, dirty clothes. That is an accusation coming from the accuser, the one who points the finger all the time. Can you say amen? All right, let's take a look at what happens here. When we wake up every day, what do we decide to put on in the realm of the spirit? The truth is, your inner man is wearing something all the time. And oftentimes, we are affected by two things. We are affected and we wear what we have done. Listen to me now. Or what has been done to us. So either what has been done by us or what has been done to us. And what I mean by that is that oftentimes things will happen in your life that have been done to you and you carry that. You don't take it off. You don't lay it down. You continue to carry it even though the price has been paid for that to be removed from you. You choose to carry it. Now what often happens is that some people can accept forgiveness, but they struggle with shame, especially when it's been something that's happened to them. Some people, because they sin and continue to sometimes sin, they carry that shame as well. Well, I want to tell you this morning that Jesus took it all away, okay? That's the good news, but I'm going to prove it to you this morning from Scripture, because this is very powerful, okay? I'm going to stop walking down the stairs. I keep going up and down. So many of us will carry that shame. So we need to realize something. Remember, the battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's in the spirit, right? So when you get up every day, there are voices that come to you. These voices will be there, and they are very real, whether you like to accept it or not. You are in a spiritual battle. That's why Paul says, put on the full armor of God. You see, put on that, put off the other stuff. And you'll see throughout the Bible, especially in Paul's writings, he says, put on, put off. Take up, put down. Constantly he's telling us to do this, over and over and over. So he says here, before I get to that, let me say this. I want you to grasp the concept that every day you're going to have this constant challenge of the enemy coming to you, telling you, and accusing you, because that's what he does. The Bible says that he's the accuser. The Bible says he's the one who stands in front of the high priest. He stands in front of the Lord, and he's busy accusing the high priest of the clothes that he's wearing. Do you see it? So he's constantly saying to you, you did this. You made this mistake. You were raped. You were abused. And you need to wear that shame all your life. He'll wake you up and you may feel forgiven, but you wake up and you still carry that shame as though it's a garment that's on you. You get up and you wake up and you want to have the victorious day with the Lord, but you put those old socks back on, those old socks of shame, and you leave the house still with that shame and that guilt. Maybe you sinned last night. Maybe you looked at something you shouldn't have looked at, or did something you shouldn't have done, or said something you shouldn't have said, and you wake up the next morning full of shame and full of guilt, and the enemy's busy accusing you, and he's busy pointing the finger at you, and he's saying, look, God, this one is not worthy. This one cannot have your presence. That's what the enemy does. Is that okay? If you don't believe me, let me show you. Revelation 12, verse number 10 says this. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accuses them before our God day and night has been cast down. Now listen, listen, listen. I know it's very exciting that that will happen, but has not yet happened. Revelation, this scripture has not yet come to pass. This was written after Jesus rose from the dead. What does that mean? That means Satan is still accusing you right now. That means that scripture where he says that Jesus is standing, that the angel of the Lord is standing, and he's about to do something extremely powerful because the accuser, Satan, is busy standing and doing exactly what it says there. How often does he do it? Day and night. All day and all night. He comes and he accuses and he accuses and he accuses. It's about to get really exciting. Are you ready? Okay, but what does God do? Watch this now. Let's go back to Zechariah 3. Let's go back to verse number 1 just to put it back into perspective. Are you guys okay? All right. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing to oppose the priest. So we see it now. We are the priest. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" He's talking about you and I. Now, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. So we see we are clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood by him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." Take away the filthy garments from him. And he said, watch this now. "See, I have removed the iniquity from you." He's speaking about an event that has already taken place when Jesus went to the cross and he took your place. He took your place. He took your sin. He took your shame. He took your guilt. He took it all upon him. And in the place of your sin and your shame and your iniquity and your transgression and your guilt and your sin, he took that, and his innocence, his righteousness was given to you. He took your filthy garments. He took them off you and he replaced them with his garments. Can you see it? Look at what he says. "I have removed your iniquity from you." The word iniquity in the Hebrew means guilt, misdeed, punishment, crime, evil behavior, sinful acts. That's what it means. The Lord removed all of it. Can you say amen? And the enemy is busy going like this. "I see what he did. I see his sin. I know what he did. I know what he said. I know what he thought. I know what he done. I know what he did." And the Lord says, "Listen, I have already paid a price for that sin. And listen, legally, there is nothing Satan can do because the price has been sealed in covenant, in blood. Innocence has paid for the blood and the guilty." Can you say, for the blood of the guilty? Can you say amen? All right, let's move on because it gets even better. Verse number 4, let's read it all. "Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, 'Take away the filthy garments from him.' And to him he said, 'See, I have removed your iniquity from you.' And then he says, 'And I will clothe you with rich robes.'" In other words, those robes, those are white robes, those are clean robes. You can go study it in the Hebrew and see what he means. But he's talking about a robe of righteousness. He will make you whole. He will make you clean. He will renew you. He will strengthen you. He will take what he did and take away what you did. Can you say amen? This is so powerful, guys. And he said, I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord stood by. I don't think we fully realize that Jesus has actually removed, listen, all our iniquity and all our shame. He's taken it all. He's removed it from you. And the Bible says that when he clothes you with his garments, listen, he's standing right there with you. He's standing beside you. And the devil can accuse and accuse and accuse, because that's what he does. Can you say amen? I want to show you, because many of you will accept that he's able to forgive, but will not accept that he actually also removes your shame. So let me give you a scripture. Hebrews 12, verse number 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside a few of our weight. What? Let us lay aside every weight. Listen, guys, because of what was done for you, every single weight, every single accusation, every single thing you've done, lay it aside. Get rid of it. Don't put it on you. In the morning when you get up, don't put it on. Don't clothe yourself with this. Put on the robe that has been provided for you, a robe of righteousness. Listen, the Bible says so many times, it's available, it's yours. All you have to do is put it on. All you have to do is pick it up and put it on and take the junk off, take the shame off, take the sin off, take the guilt off, take the pain off, take the unforgiveness off, take it off. Watch this now. And the sin, oh, this is so good, which so easily ensnares us, present tense. The sin which so easily ensnares us. So Jesus not only paid for your sins past, but there's grace and mercy and righteousness available to you even when you continue to sin. That does not give you a license to sin. You can be ugly and do something about it, but stupid is forever. Okay, you cannot, that does not mean that now you've got a license to sin. Listen, I'm going to give you the secret to all of this in 1 minute. There's one thing that happens to us when we get saved that is the key. And when you truly recognize what all this is that God has done, and the fact that Jesus has done this for us, when you recognize what it is, you will hate sin. Unfortunately, you will probably still make mistakes. But he's saying that there's grace for you through that. Amen. He doesn't want you to stay in guilt and shame because he's already paid for it. Now watch. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. There it is. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Shame has also been removed. You do not have to feel guilty. Listen, many of you have been through things that you had no control over. And you know, many people that have abuse, the first thing they do is they go and shower afterwards, because they want to be clean. Unfortunately, it doesn't really help. Why? Because it's inside. The damage has been done in the soul. And the only way that that can be cleansed is by what Jesus has done. When you recognize that he takes it away, what do you have to do? Give it to him. Release it. Take it off. Take it off. It's not yours anymore. You don't need to wear it anymore. Take it off. Take the shame off. Take the guilt off. Take the pain off. Take the unforgiveness off. And put on the robe that he's provided in the place of that robe. Amen. Now, When we are in Christ, something happens. Something happens. Watch this. Galatians 3 verse 27 says this. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When you get saved, you put on the garment of righteousness. What you're really doing is you're putting him on. Now, when the devil comes and begins to accuse you, and he's accusing, and he sees you, what you need to do is you need to say, listen, devil, don't you know that it is not I, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world? It is not I, but Christ who lives in me. You are no longer of yourself. You are now in Christ. So when he's accusing you. But you're no longer you. You are in Christ. You have been changed. You have been transformed. You have a garment on that is clean and pure and holy. That's how, listen, Jesus is coming for a pure bride. Do you really think it'll be their righteousness that will get them there? No. It will be a bride that recognizes that they can stand with power and authority because the robe of righteousness is not my robe. It's his robe. It's his righteousness. I'm going to put Christ on. I'm going to take off me. I'm going to take the garbage. I'm going to take the sin. I'm going to take the guilt. I'm going to take it off. And I'm going to put Christ on. Second Corinthians 5:21. There's an exchange that takes place. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So powerful. There's an exchange. But Pastor Alex, what about the sins I did yesterday? 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So when you are in Christ, you become righteous, you get saved, you become right as if you never sinned. And then there's sanctification, which is the process. When you sin again, his grace is sufficient for you. Can you say amen? Again, that doesn't mean that now we're going to walk in this garbage and continue to live this way. No, our minds will change. Our hearts will change. We will put him on. And when we put him on and you begin to taste and know that he is good, you begin to change. That's why the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. Let me give you a little picture. I'm almost done. Are you guys okay? Okay, just like 40 minutes more, okay? It's okay. Ocean's Cafe will be ready for you. Okay. Imagine Lazarus. Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, the miracle has happened. He's been changed. But when he comes out, he still stinks and he's got those garments on. What happens is his friends have to go and take those garments off. That's what the church does. That's what we're supposed to do for one another. That's why we have to confess our sins. If there's something you need to release, go to someone that you love and trust and confess it. Get it out. Don't carry shame. Don't carry pain. Don't carry guilt. Release it. You don't have to go to a pastor or anybody like that. Go to someone that you trust. But that's what the church is there to do. Can you say amen? Those garments, those old garments of the pain or the death of the past have to be removed from us. Amen. Every day you get up, you need to put the robe of righteousness on and make sure those old clothes are left down. Don't put them on. Don't pick them up. Ephesians 4, verse number 20 says this. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, there we go, put off concerning the former conditions and the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in truth and righteousness and holiness. Can you say amen? Do you see it? So the whole time you're putting on Christ, You're putting on what he's given you. And when you remember what has been done for you, his goodness, and you put it on, it will help you to deal with the issues that you have. Because you know you're free. You know you're forgiven. Let's go to Romans 13, 12. Two more scriptures and I'm done. Romans 13, 12. We're going to go to the New Living Translation because it just says it so beautifully. Watch this. The night is almost gone, and the day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity or moral living or in quarreling or jealousy. I want you to see that just because he's taken care of it doesn't mean he wants you to live that way. And throughout scripture you see it. Put off, put on. Put it off, put on Christ. Put it off, put on Christ. Stay in him. Stay in him. When you grasp what has happened for you on Calvary, that you actually have been made righteous, there's one key to walking it out. One scripture, such a powerful scripture. Let's go to 1 John 1, verse number 9. New Living, let's go back to New King James. 1 John 1, 9. Are you guys okay? Okay. If we confess our sins, if we go to God and we get real with him and say, listen, God, I've messed up. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a process, guys. But you don't have to pick up your past. You don't have to pick up your shame. You don't have to pick up your guilt. The accuser of the brethren, Satan, stands pointing his finger at you constantly so that you will become crippled and not be able to become all God has called you to be. I'm here to tell you this morning that all your sins have been paid for. I'm here to tell you this morning, it doesn't matter what you've done wrong. If you do this, all unrighteousness will be removed from you. As if it never was. And then when Satan looks at you, you can say, listen, I'm in Christ. I have a robe of righteousness that has been placed on me and over me. I'm in him. Your accusation has no power in me, Satan. Isn't it powerful, guys? It takes an Old Testament prophecy for us to recognize the power of what Jesus has done on the cross when it comes to being able to stand in that day. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand. Pick up your armor. Pick up what he's given you. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't be defeated. You have the victory. It's already done. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, how many of you in this room think that that's amazing? Okay? That's amazing, right? That's amazing. That's why the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. I don't need to tell you how bad you are. You already know. But when you recognize his love, his mercy, his goodness, and the power that took place on that cross when he took your shame and your guilt and your pain on him and he put his righteousness on you because he was righteous. He was innocently crucified. And it covers you now. Now you're in him. That's why we get baptized. We stay behind. We come out and we're in Christ. If you haven't been baptized, you need to get baptized. It's a very powerful principle. This morning there are people even here today. You've suffered with shame, specifically shame. Can I ask everybody just to bow their heads for just a moment? Father, what can we say except that you are so good? Holy Spirit, I ask that you just come right now. And every single person is here from a different place, been through a different situation, different life. We've all come from different places. But we all have one thing in common. Those that have given their lives to you. And that is this. That it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And I live in him. And I have been made righteous. My sins and my shame have been removed from me. Satan can accuse all day long, but listen to me. If he accuses you, he's accusing Jesus, and Jesus is innocent because you're wearing his robe. All that you have to do is put it on. And so this morning, if you're carrying shame from abuse or rape or hurt or anything, molestation or whatever it is that you're carrying, unforgiveness, put it down this morning. Lay it down this morning. I'm not going to call you to the front or anything like that. Just there, right there where you are in your seat. Just put it down. Lay it down. Just give it to him. And then I want you to see this beautiful robe that he has for you. It will make you clean. It will give you a freshness, a new start. Listen, as if it never happened. Take this robe and put it on you. And know that you are in Christ. You are beautiful and you are holy. Did you hear what I said? You are holy. You are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. You have access to God because of what he did for you. So right now, where you are in your seat, just cry out to him. Just even just in your heart, just speak to him right there where you are. And I'm going to ask you all just to stand in this moment. The presence of God is here. Many people are busy speaking to the Lord. Let's all stand. Nobody look around if you can. We're just going to sing a little song. Let's sing that song.
You're worthy of it all.
Come on, let's tell him how worthy he is.
You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from
right there where you are this morning, I want you to recognize what God has done for you and give him thanks for it. But before we do that, I also want to just remind you of something this morning. You know, the Bible says that it's the accuser that points the finger and accuses. Listen, none of us have perfect marriages, perfect children, perfect parents. Take that finger and take it down. Don't accuse anymore. Just let it go. Let go accusation. Don't accuse your husband, your wife, your children. Just forgive. Let it go. Let go the past, the pain, the mistakes, the hurts. Just let it go this morning. The same way that you've been made righteous. If your husband or your wife or your child or your parents, if they've also cried out to God, they have also been made righteous. Do they deserve it? No, but neither do you. And so this morning, Father, we are so grateful to you for what you did on Calvary when you sent your Son to die for our sins. We are so thankful. We are so grateful, Lord. And so this morning, Father, we'll read that scripture again. Zechariah 2, verse number 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. For behold, I am coming and will dwell in your midst. Listen, church, I asked you at the beginning of the service, do you have something to shout about? Let me ask you right now, do you have reason to celebrate? Do you have reason to shout? Come on, let's give the Lord a clap and a shout of praise in this place. Yeah! I'm forever grateful, Lord. Forever grateful. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise and all the glory and honor. As we go this morning, we will never forget what you have done for us. We love you. We praise you. We worship you in the name that is above every name. The name of Jesus. God bless you. Have a great afternoon, and we will see you tonight. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.